Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
No one should have to decide if they can afford life-saving care. Expanding Medicaid would bring billions in federal funding back to our state. It helps stabilize rural hospitals providing critical care. Text BETTER to 46839.
Welcome in, everybody. I know hours have gone by. I mean, literally hours have gone by. Dual hit game-winning three, and Ole Miss's win over Arkansas. But are you still kind of buzzing about that win? If not, you should be. If not, there's something wrong with you. You need to go to the doctor and get like your heart tested or something, because, you know, John Rothstein, for some reason, catches a lot of grief online. And I could not be a bigger fan of Rothstein than I am today, because I get the shtick. I get it. He lives and loves college basketball like nobody else on earth. And his phrase, "This is March," could not be more appropriate for what happened with Ole Miss today. This is March. Those kind of things are why this month in this sport are so compelling, and intoxicating is the word that I always use. This is why Sean Padula was awful today. This was possibly his worst game in an Ole Miss uniform until it mattered most, and he drained a three. I mean, just totally cool, and Davis gets the board, kicks it to him, and he just dribbles up the court, creates a little space for himself, and bang, and Ole Miss gets just a fun win that probably caused a lot of you to have to call your cardiologist in the morning. What a game. What a moment. Outstanding stuff. And we're here to talk about it tonight on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I really appreciate you being here. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already to the podcast feed. Just wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition and every edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered anywhere in Mississippi for personal injury. If you've been personally injured, if something happened in celebration, no, I'm kidding. But if you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Call DJ Gregory at the Gregory Law Firm at 662-397-9799. Again, personal injury, also small business. If you're a small business owner, and you have a legal situation that you need help with, DJ Gregory's got you covered. If you want to start a small business and you want to make sure that you cross your T's and dot your I's, there you go. DJ Gregory, 662-397-9799. So the box score today, little house cleaning like we always do. Ole Miss only shot 43% from the field and 31% from three. But Malik Dia, really good today. To be honest with you, I thought that that's not refresh numbers. Ole Miss shot 47% from the field and 33% from three. Sorry about that. Malik Dia, 19 points on only 7 of 8 shooting. That is something that, you know, we'll get to the gripes in a second, or maybe just do it right now. When Ole Miss goes through these scoring droughts, especially late in the second half, those 4 dead possessions in a row where the ball just kind of stuck to a guard, those are opportunities to find a way to get Malik Dia touches. He's a good enough free throw shooter anyway, but he was having a good day, and Adu fouled out late in the second half of that game. Ole Miss needs to do a better job still with their guards and the ball sticking in clutch possessions. That was a big issue, I thought, today. But obviously they win. There's no pictures on the scorecard. We'll get to all that later. But Malik Dia could have had more than 19, but really efficient. 7 of 8 from the field and 8 rebounds, including 3 steals on top of it all. Juju Murray had 17, 6 of 13 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. He gets a lot of grief. And, you know, yours truly also says, you know, maybe the ball in his hands too much in certain situations. I mean, I've said that before. I've talked about the ball sticking with him, things like that. And there were moments late in the second half where he had some bad possessions, but Ole Miss does not win that basketball game today without Juju Murray. Absolutely no shot. He made some clutch shots in that game and had 17 points to show for it. Matt Morrell had 12 on 4 of 11 from the field. He made a couple of big plays late. That knee, you can tell he's lost his explosion, but, man, he's still defending really, really hard as well. Padula had 10. Again, he was 0 for 6 from three-point land until he made that final shot. 4 of 12 from the field, had 4 turnovers as well. Really just not a good game from him, but he was the hero nonetheless. I thought you got 24 really good minutes from Barnes yet again. He had 11 points on 3 of 4 from the field, including a couple of made threes. But he does the dirty stuff well, and I mean that complimentary, not negatively. I think he's a tough basketball player. Had a pair of offensive rebounds. He defends pretty well. I like his game, even though he doesn't provide a whole heck of a lot for this team offensively. I think he's a very valuable rotation piece for this team. The story of this game, aside from Padula, is the fact that Ole Miss was able to overcome a day like this. Jamin Brakefield gave them 4 points. Dre Davis was 3 of 11 from the field, including 0 of 2 from 3. Sean Padula made 1 3, and it was at the very end of the game. He was 0 for 6 for 39 minutes and 55 seconds. Matt Morrell was 1 of 5 from 3. And they won the basketball game, scoring 83 points. That is, if you'd have told me that you're getting 4 from Brakefield, 7 from Davis, 10 from Padula on 1 of 7 from 3, they're not winning the game. And yet they found a way to win. I know Arkansas, is down personnel-wise. They just don't have that many bodies. But quite frankly, Ole Miss, especially without Mekeil Brown-Jones, who was not in the lineup today for whatever reason, they called it personal, but that was all the detail that you got. Ole Miss is down to a really short rotation like that as well. Klafke gave them some good minutes. That was nice to see, but it's only 9 minutes. Ole Miss had a 7-man rotation effectively as well. So, if you're going to talk about Arkansas only having a certain number of guys that they play, Ole Miss only had one more guy that they played, and that was for 9 minutes. They've got a really tight rotation as well. But, look, they played dominant basketball for about 15 minutes, and then for whatever reason sloppy play, whether they lost focus or I don't know, closed the first half very poorly, allowed Arkansas to have a 7-0 run. And then ultimately it got to the point where they gave up a 33-11 run. Really sloppy, lazy basketball at times, really dumb passes, turnovers that led to easy Arkansas buckets, bad offense where the ball stuck. And then they turned it on and they won a game. And like I said a second ago, there's no pictures on the scorecard, right? In March, the important thing is that you win. Arkansas is playing much better now than they were back in January. They've got some length. They're a team that, although I think they're probably in the tournament, certainly would have solidified that bid with a win today over Ole Miss. And Ole Miss didn't play well. They didn't shoot well. A lot of open looks that they usually make, specifically from Padula. A lot of open looks that he knocks down that he just didn't for the most of the game until the very end. They didn't shoot well. They lost focus there for a while, had some bad turnovers at times, played really stupid basketball, and they found a way to win. And there is another win for this team in March where they had to execute in the clutch to get there, and they did just that. And you could not, or you should not, what I'm trying to say is don't overthink it like I just did. This is a team that is showing that they have an inability to quit, for one, but they've got some guys that are capable and have made plays in the clutch. Sean Padula has made 2 game-winning threes in March already. You guys know what Jamin Brakefield did against Tennessee. I think by and large, their defensive identity has returned and they're playing really good basketball. And now I think there's no way, shape or form they find themselves on the 7-8 seed or on the 8-9 seed line. I think they've avoided that completely, but I'm looking at Jerry Palm's bracketology right now that they updated before the win for Ole Miss today. This was before the win, and they had Ole Miss the 5. I believe ESPN also has Ole Miss as a 5 seed now as well. So they've improved the seed line. The committee now really has no excuse to put them in the 8-9 game at all. I didn't think with a loss they would have been there anyway, but the committee could have done that to them. The resume is pretty outstanding, considering how incredible the SEC is this year and what they've done to this point. And of course, it's all about draws in the tournament. But man, they're going to be a five or a six seed, it seems, come Selection Sunday, because I highly doubt they're going to get punished for losing on a neutral floor to Auburn. You know, it does feel like, I know things change around the country, but kind of where they are is where they'll be at the moment, because losing to the number one team in the country on Friday before Selection Sunday is not going to get you punished at all. So this was a big win because it's another quad one win. They continue their March momentum. You know, they played sloppy and stuff at times, but they found a way to win yet again in March. And man, that was fun. If nothing else, that was just a joy to watch. And this is why investing in basketball pays off for days like today. And the fact that you're going to go into Selection Sunday, regardless of what happens tomorrow, not only totally comfortable, but I mean, you're talking about, you know, could they be a five seed, which is outstanding in year two with the SEC being what it is right now. So a really incredible day. It's one of those shots that you guys will remember for a long time, if not ever. Where were you when Sean Padula hit the game winner in the SEC tournament? I don't know if it's that serious since it's not a real tournament game, but man, that was incredible. And this team is just really fun and frustrating, but it's just really fun right now. And they move on to Auburn tomorrow. I know most of you, by the time most of you will listen to this, they will have already played Auburn. Auburn's a bad matchup. You've seen them play already this year. They're physical. Ole Miss is coming off of a pretty emotional win. So it's a total free shot. If you win, hell yeah. If you don't, go home, rest, get ready for the tournament, because you've done enough. You really have done enough. And that's a credit to Chris Beard and the entire team, his coaching staff, and you, the fans that produced the money to put the roster together and have gone to the games and supported them all year to get to this point. This is why you invest in basketball. What a great day it was. We'll get to your comments after I tell you. The podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on exit 40 in Brookhaven. But if you're not in town, if you don't live in Brookhaven, that's okay, because the car buying experience is one that you want to be careful with, right? You don't want to just go to your backyard, just a dealership down the street, and buy whatever they've got to offer you, because it could be a place that maybe is not trustworthy, or it could be a place that doesn't have what you're looking for or the prices that you want. Toyota of Brookhaven will take care of you like you're a person and not like your dollar signs. So check out their online inventory at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. So even if you don't live in the area and you're a short drive away, you know what they've got before you make the trip. But more importantly, you know that they'll take care of you. If you tell them I sent you, $1,000 off any in-stock new Toyota. $1,000 on me, straight up off the top, no questions asked. $1,000 on me if you tell them I sent you. They have got an outstanding, if you look at the reviews, service department. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., so pretty convenient for you if you've got kids and school and work and all that stuff. So check them out, Toyota Brookhaven, exit 40 in Brookhaven. They have great service, great savings, and I promise you they will deliver. To the messages we go, hottie toddy to you, Michael. Yeah, Zach, good to see you, man. Maybe them putting me on TV over and over was a good luck charm. I'm glad you're here, because I was going to tell you the exact point in the game where your face was front and center, but I mean, no doubt somebody else was watching the game that would have told you sooner, but I'm glad to see you, and I'm glad you're here because, yeah, dude, your face was front and center on the broadcast. You getting basically a front row seat for that must have been pretty sweet, huh? That was awesome. Really, though, that game was an all-out war. It should have been. It was officiated pathetically. And I'm not doing, like, there are people that think the refs are, like, biased against a school. I don't think that happened today. Ole Miss had, what, 20 fouls to Arkansas 17? But 37 foul calls in a game is not because of the teams on the court. If that makes sense. If you're calling 37 fouls in a game without any intentional foul, like no end of game fouling to put teams on a line to try to come back and win, right? That was a game that did not have any quote unquote intentional fouls, right? 37 foul calls is an officiating problem, not the players on the court problem. That whistle was entirely too soft, and it was the same guy that was calling basically all of it. The touch fouls that were called in this game were absurd, and it's a shame because it was a great game and a great finish. It could have been even better. The flow could have been even better, except for somebody wanted to make it about him today. That was awful. You've got two physical SEC basketball teams. I mean, everybody in the SEC is physical to some degree, I guess, but you got a bunch of guys playing hard for tournament seeding or otherwise, and that's how you're going to officiate it. I thought it was a joke. But Ole Miss and Arkansas both were able to overcome it, although Arkansas benefited greatly from a non-travel call that put them in the position to possibly win the game anyway. But anyway, great day for the Rebs. Yes, it was. So Ole Miss team showed a lot of guts today, not playing near their best game. Yeah, not anywhere close. Not anywhere close to their best game. But they won, and they found a way to win. Just really impressive. No doubt. Credit to Dia for stepping up today. His dunk of the season, too. My goodness. Yeah, man. Just at 6'9", 250 pounds, moving like that and dunking like that's awesome. My complaints are they didn't get him and manufacture touches for him, especially when Adu fouled out. That was a big problem for me. Sometimes that offense can just get bogged down because they don't move. And you saw it on the broadcast when Beard was talking to them in the first half. It was, hey, when you get tired, when the game gets, you know, like this, you cannot forget to move and you cannot forget to move the ball. I mean, he said that to them, and there was a little stretch there. I guess it was four straight possessions where there was very little movement or ball movement. And in those moments, when you've got a guy like Dia who was already playing well and then has a mismatch without Arkansas's best big on the floor, you got to get him the basketball. You've got to give him the opportunity to go at the basket instead of dribbling out a shot clock and taking a contested long-distance three that doesn't go in. It's something that they have got to figure out how to do because that could cost them a tournament game. Feels like they're starting to own Arkansas and everything. A win in baseball this weekend would have Arkansas fans spiraling. They should be spiraling already. But, yeah, for sure. That's six of the last seven wins for Ole Miss where it came down to the last possession. Let's see. So, obviously, the Tennessee game in Brakefield being unbelievable today. Padula's heroics. Oklahoma, Padula hits the shot. And I know Morrell, you know, iced it with free throws, but that was Padula hitting a game winner. The South Carolina game, that's when Malik Dia went off in the final 12 minutes. LSU, when they were, what, down 11 with just, what was it? I forget the exact time, but down 11, like, with 3 minutes to go, I think it was. Yeah. You're exactly right. The last five wins for Ole Miss have been, the last five have been like that, and then they beat Kentucky, and then the Texas game came down to the wire, yeah. Mm-hmm. But mixed in there, though, was a loss to Vanderbilt where they didn't execute down the stretch. Mississippi State blew them out on their home floor. But still, point's a good one. They are capable of playing well in the clutch. Tomorrow, the Rebs play Auburn in basketball at 12, and then at 2, they play Arkansas in baseball. Back-to-back big games for Ole Miss Athletics tomorrow. I don't think this is going to sound goofy. I don't think tomorrow's basketball game is a quote-unquote big game. I know that's goofy, but there's just no consequences for a loss. I mean, none. There would have been some consequences with the loss today. Maybe they could have fallen down. Again, maybe they could have fallen down to that 8-9 game. I don't know if they would have, but maybe they could have. But tomorrow, there's no consequences with the loss. They won't move down at all. I mean, so I don't know how quote-unquote big the game itself is. I think the opportunity is a big one, but I don't know if the game itself is like that just because of how inconsequential a loss for this team actually is in this game. Ball didn't lie on the final sequence. Clear as day, missed travel by Arkansas. That was bad. And then stepping in before passing the ball in was another one, but found it funny how the Kentucky fans were cheering against Arkansas and Cal. Yeah, that is funny. Although, I mean, they wanted him out. What? I don't know. Half the stadium for the Ole Miss game was Kentucky fans. That was pretty cool. Federino erupted on Padula's shot. He had a bad game, but sooner or later, he's going to hit a shot. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, just an off day. You know, he got clean looks. It's not like he was taking poor shots. He just wasn't making his typical shots. The worst part about today was the turnovers, the bad turnovers. I think it looked to me like he was allowing the shots not falling to kind of get in his head a little bit, and that turned into poor decision-making. But still. Quick question, do you see baseball being played on Saturday? Because there's yet to be an announcement on what the plan is with weather coming in. I have not heard of anything about what they're going to do Saturday. My guess would be they're going to try their hardest to play it, even if it's later. They don't want to do Sunday doubleheaders. So if the weather's going to be out by, you know, let's call it 7 o'clock on Saturday, then they're going to try to play, I think. Only the 2 o'clock start tomorrow is all that they've announced, but they don't want to do a Sunday doubleheader if they can help it. So they're going to try to wait it out, I think, for as long as possible on Saturday. Now that I've said that, they're going to announce tomorrow that there's going to be a Sunday doubleheader, but I do think that they want to avoid that as best they can. Don't want to hear this. The SEC tournament is pointless stuff. These teams and fan bases are juiced for this. It really does mean more. Yeah, you're in the arena too, so you get to feel it. Absolutely. It's just when you're a team like Ole Miss, the loss is inconsequential, right? So Chris Beard after the game was like, we came here to win this thing. A total opposite message than when you got from John Calipari a couple of days ago saying that he doesn't care at all about this tournament, which the way he coached today tells you that that's not true, but that's what he said. But yeah, should play a doubleheader tomorrow. That probably would be the best decision, but I think that they want to avoid doubleheaders at all costs. Like they just don't want to play them if they can help it. And I mean, I know it's the weather app on your phone, but I was looking at it earlier today and it looked like, let's see. Yeah, it looked like the chances of precipitation is going to drop right around 6 o'clock on Saturday. So, you know, they still could get rain, but, I mean, if they can have a first pitch at 8:30, for example, just throwing it out there where there's no more rain in the forecast, according to my phone anyway, they're going to play at 8:30. So maybe that's all it is. Getting Adu out of the game was huge. Barnes quickly anchored the team throughout the game and made some key shots to keep them afloat. Yeah, and also just effort plays. I mean, he makes things harder on the opponent all the time, and that doesn't show up on a stat sheet. But when you watch him, it's like, okay, this guy is impacting the game. He's a willing rebounder, and he can really jump and doesn't get pushed around easily. He's a pretty physical guy, despite, you know, when he's trying to rebound against seven-footers, it won't always go well, but I like the physical presence that he brings and the effort in which he plays. I think he's been a valuable player for Ole Miss. If you look at, his scoring numbers, they're not much. I mean, he's averaging 5 points per game, but I think that he is really impacting the game in other ways and really helping this team. Not a fan of the whole SEC tournament means nothing mentality. They had a good opponent put in front of them, and that was on a hot streak and had a great clutch win. Absolutely means something in March. Yeah, and the way they've won these three games in this month, right? Padula clutch against Oklahoma, Brakefield clutch against Tennessee, Padula clutch again today. That has got to build their confidence come tournament time if they find themselves in a game where they're down two with 3 minutes to go. I mean, there will be no panic, or there should be no panic in this team, because they've been in this already. They've been in it against an elite team in Tennessee. They've been in it in a tournament setting. That's got to help their confidence so much. Mr. Big Shot Padul, don't care how many he missed prior. And you saw that, right? That the confidence in which he took. And Chris Beard, by the way, if you guys haven't seen it, I know a lot of people have pointed it out, but watch the highlight of that happening again. And look at the scorer's table and look at what Chris Beard's doing. He's just kind of sitting back, just watching it happen. I mean, total comfortability in his team's preparation to know what to do in that moment. And Padula, despite having a bad day, I mean, just the casual nature in which he took the ball up the floor, found some space, bang. I mean, it was just – it looked so casual instead of rushed and chaotic. It was – well rehearsed, if that makes sense. It's really fun, but you just don't see how it benefits teams that are safely in. Moving up seed lines is how it can. And if you win the whole thing, you get to hang a banner. But thankfully, the game was able to overcome the awful officiating. No kidding. Nice win today. Yeah, absolutely. Good to see you, Todd. These other games are also suffering from poor officiating. It's rampant in Mississippi State, Missouri right now. Man, I know it's a tough job. It's a really, really, really tough job, no doubt. But what frustrates me is the blowing the whistles in anticipation of contact. I think Barnes, wasn't it Barnes that drew a foul where there was literally no contact? They showed the replay and there wasn't any. But the official blew the whistle anticipating there to be contact. And you can't do stuff like that. You can't see something that did not happen. And so if there was no contact, why are you stopping the game and awarding free throws to a guy that was never touched? Because you thought he was going to be? No. I would much rather have a more conservative whistle. Now, YouTube's going to flag that for politics. I'm not talking politics, but I want them to swallow the whistle a little bit. Because, like that Barnes foul, that's unacceptable in that spot for that to be called a foul. He didn't touch the guy at all, and you're still awarding free throws for that. That's a joke. Glaring difference in that game was free throw shooting. Games are won and lost there often. That's cool. The camera guy was next to you. That's awesome. That is awesome. And there you are, Zach, thinking the same thing. That foul call on Barnes on the Euro step was horrid. Might have been zero contact. Most definitely looked like literally zero contact on replay. I'll read the rest of your messages and let you get out of here after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. It's a Mississippi company, and they want to take care of other Mississippi companies. If you're in the need for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, technology-based in the office in Mississippi, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Also, the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business, or excuse me, it already has been, brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. How about Priority One Bank? Make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. They also have local loan servicing and decision-making because, again, Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. They announced during the Texas A&M game that was the largest session crowd for the SEC tournament since 2018. Wow. Kentucky and Oklahoma are going to play well past midnight. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, Mississippi State still got 12 minutes to go in this game. Yeah. Let's see. I mean, they would start at 9:15, right, if that state game ended right now. Ooh, that's not fun. You noticed Beard took exception to a post-game question, something like, how does a guy like you feel being in this successful position? Ooh. I've been in those rooms before, not many, because, you know, I'm not a reporter, right? I'm not a journalist. It's just my job is to yap on the radio for 3 hours a day and then with you guys here in podcast form. So, but I've been in those rooms, and sometimes you can have, like, sometimes people clam up and ask things in ways that they don't mean or ask bad questions that come off in ways that are, yeah, no, it was poorly, very, very, very poorly worded. I, you know, maybe he was trying to get at something else. But, you know, Chris Beard's in the caliber of coach as John Calipari. It's not, I mean, that's not even a debate. And if you wanted to have a conversation about which one was a better floor coach, well, that's an easy answer, an extremely easy answer. So how does it feel to coach against John Calipari? Well, ask Cal, how does it feel to coach against me? You know? So I get that. So are Texas and Oklahoma going to get in? They should, in your opinion. I think, and I don't know, I just think that in a committee room with a bunch of suits, getting 14 SEC teams in their tournament, 20% of their tournament, I have a feeling they're going to find an excuse to leave somebody out. And if Oklahoma loses tonight, I would not be surprised if they found an excuse to leave Oklahoma out or somebody like that. And maybe Texas loses tomorrow. Texas should get in after these couple of games. But, I mean, would it really surprise you if an NCAA selection committee would not allow 14 SEC teams in? Would that really surprise you? It wouldn't me. Yeah, there's no way you're getting in for two night games for $12, especially if Kentucky keeps winning. But even though he had a bad game, Padula has to be the guy to trust in a game-deciding sequence. He's proved it again and again. Absolutely. I mean, you can question some of his decision-making, like, you know, with 4 minutes left, but he looks so comfortable in that final shot situation, like he did today and against Oklahoma. I mean, that's what you're referencing, of course, and just how comfortable he looks with the ball in his hands in that, okay, I have to take the shot and it has to go in moment. You can tell that he's comfortable there. And yeah, absolutely. If there's a game-winning shot, if the game's on the line, put the ball in his hand. And if you lose, you lose, but that's the guy whose hands you want the ball in. Tomorrow, just let it hang loose and go play ball. It's a stress-free game where the mass of Auburn fans are going to have the pressure on themselves. Yeah, no kidding. Maybe Chad Baker-Mazzara will elbow somebody again. Bold prediction, North Carolina and Duke will be playing in the SEC tournament basketball by 2028. Could you imagine Nashville when Duke plays Kentucky on a Friday? Oh, that'd be unbelievable. So add 2 years to that. The ACC will be dead by 2030. Could be sooner because they could pay the buyout sooner, but their new deal that they struck with Florida State and Clemson is proof positive. The ACC as a conference will be dead in 5 years. Done. Guarantee. Say they're a bad matchup for Auburn. Yeah, that's, well, Auburn's a bad matchup for Ole Miss. That gets your point. They are really good at where Ole Miss is at its weakest. It's tough. Did see a Sweet 16 for the Rebels with the right draw. I think that's the end of the road, though. I think so too. I mean, I've got Palm's bracket up again, and I mean, we already know that they can beat Purdue. It was a long time ago. Don't get me wrong, but they can most definitely play with Purdue. Because we've seen it already happen. I mean, they most definitely can beat Drake and Purdue if that's their draw. They can do that. So, yeah, it's all draw dependent, but they've got the playmakers and the veterans that can get them to the second weekend. Ole Miss had to have secured a 6 seed. I would be shocked if they're a 7, let's put it that way. Love how all the Ole Miss sports are doing good. Keith Carter needs to stay forever and keep hiring good and raising money. I mean, he's done an exceptional job at hiring. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the department's in great shape because it's not just football in this basketball team, right? Obviously, baseball doing well. Softball's off to an outstanding start, and she was kind of on the quote-unquote hot seat going into the season. But, I mean, they had a really good non-conference, and they took a series over number 10 Arkansas. The golf teams are in outstanding shape. Stuff like that. I mean, it's like a department-wide deal right now. So I guess women's soccer is struggling some, but right now, this is kind of a golden era of Ole Miss sports as a whole in totality. Shout out to Marshall Henderson in the crowd today. Him and Padula seem to share the... Yeah, I was in college during the Marshall Henderson era. I will always have a soft spot for him. He was so much fun to watch and played with. I mean, he was an insane person on the court, but man, played with the passion, you know, and the fact that it's 12 years later from that SEC tournament, he's up there sitting front row in Nashville losing his mind. I think it's a cool thing. It's always cool to see former players be that emotionally invested in your team, right? That's always a cool thing to see. And having a guy that was so integral in one of the very few fun stretches in Ole Miss basketball history, absolutely, again, losing his mind on the front row was a cool thing to see. SEC gets 14 teams in. If Oklahoma loses tonight, I'd bet on 13. I don't know why. I would. But if they win tonight, 14. Yeah. Yeah. Good talking to you tonight, too, man. Good talking to you tonight, too. Yes, I will look for you on TV tomorrow. No doubt about it. I haven't talked about baseball at all just because of how insane that basketball game was. And, you know, to be honest with you, I've been so focused on basketball, I barely looked at this deal. Now you've got weather and all that. But it's Hunter Elliott Day tomorrow, and I'm excited to see this team tested. I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond to an increase in competition. We know that they can play with teams like this. They beat Arizona and Clemson, right? But, SEC series is different. And we'll talk about baseball more when Sean Padula doesn't hit a game-winning three in the SEC tournament. You know what I mean? Quick football question. What NFL team fits Dart best potentially? The Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the Steelers. That if I'm Jackson Dart's agent, I'm really working hard on Mike Tomlin. Feels like the floor in the tournament's the second round. Can definitely see Sweet 16. Truthfully, the floor is the first round because that's everybody's floor, including the one seeds, and even though that is an extreme rarity. But basically everybody's floor is the first round. But, you know, I'm nitpicking. I'm splitting hairs. I'm being kind of a butthead. If they're a five or a six, there are very few looking at this bracket teams where I'd look at and think, oh, I don't like Ole Miss's matchup here. They're on the right seed line for sure to get at least one win. So if you have to play a one seed, you want to be Duke in the Duke bracket with Flag going down. The problem is, there was no – the x-rays were negative. And so if you're going to be the six in Duke's bracket, or, I mean, I guess if you're the five, you see them – I don't know. I think he'll be – playing by the time that happens is what I'm trying to say. So I appreciate you guys. I got to run. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in as always. We'll be back on Sunday. We'll have, how should we do Sunday? How should we do Sunday? The selection show. I think we will go live at the very beginning of the selection show. I think that's what we're going to do. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. I think it's at 6, right? Isn't it at 6? I think it's at 6. Either way, I'll figure out exactly what time it is. And we will – 6 o'clock Eastern. So 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock on Sunday, we will go live at 5 o'clock on Sunday for the tournament selection. That's what we'll do. We'll go live on 5 o'clock on Sunday. I'll see you guys then. Enjoy your weekend. This is going to be a lot of fun. So I'll see you on Sunday. We will go live as the selection show is underway. Like the second it starts, we'll go live. And see you guys then. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your baseball if you're going to the baseball games. And I'll see you guys on Sunday at 5.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.